Verse 11, verse 18 rather, in the Old Testament. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. This psalm is a great psalm of praise and encouragement. It begins with, God shall arise and his enemies shall be scattered, reminiscent of these words composed by Moses as they took the Ark of God back from Obed-Edom back to Jerusalem. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 10. Paul makes direct reference to this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read it to you. It's verse 8. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, with a clear reference in Ephesians 4 to this being the eternal Son of God, the Christ that we worship. The slaves in the southern states of the United States had to escape. And what they did, they escaped at night. They did their traversing of America at night, not following the main routes. If they were to come out of hiding during the day, they were likely to be in trouble and sent back to their slave situations. They cared little about the geography. They were all about freedom, pursuing freedom. What was the significant thing they did to obtain their freedom? At night, without a map, they kept their eye on the North Star. They kept the North Star in front of him. Let us, by God's grace, keep our North Star, the Lord Jesus Christ, in front of us. Always let this star guide us to freedom. Thou hast ascended. Well, if something or somebody's going to ascend, he's got to descend first. You can't go up before coming down. That's conspicuous in the language. I remember, and there'll be some of you here too who do remember, on the shaky radio waves, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Man landed on the moon. How amazing that is. And how captivated we were by that event, when it is nothing in comparison to God's step to earth in Bethlehem. He came down here. I have been recalling a sermon from Reverend Lachlan Mackenzie Lochcarran. His sermon is entitled The Babe in Bethlehem. The preacher and the inquirer were going to seek Jesus. The preacher and the inquirer were seeking for Jesus. And they came to this fine house. Surely we will find him in this fine palace of a house. No. There was a company there. As they looked in the window, they were round the gaming table. Then they went to another house which wasn't quite so grand. Surely he'll be in this house then. It's a fine house. No. He's not there. There was the laughter of the drunkard. And so he went on through a number of houses. And then they came to the back of the hostel. And the guides pointed to the door of the stable and said, "He's in there, he's behind the stuff. He's behind the mass of filth, the dung heap outside the door." And the inquirer said, "Oh, surely Jesus can't be in there, of all places, the Lord of glory in there." "Yes, he is. In swaddling clothes, the infant Jesus." That was a whole sermon, by the way, from Lachlan Mackenzie. So I'm reducing it significantly. The babe in Bethlehem. But there was more. He was the man of sorrows. He became exceeding sorrowful, and he was acquainted with grief. There was more. There were the five wounds, the hands, the feet, the head, the back, the side, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. But there's more. Not only was he born in a low condition, not only did he become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, not only was he wounded very sore, but these lips that comforted, these hands that helped, these fingers that poked in to the ear to heal, that hand that guided and helped the little girl, that body that sweat in Gethsemane, is now lifeless and cold and dead. He died. The Lord of glory died. And he was laid in the grave. How was it possible for the Prince of Life, the Giver of Life, the Lord of the universe, to be killed? How did he have to come to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Bible tells us it's for my sin. Now, is there anybody here who can't say that? Are you saying it was for my sin? It's for what the Puritans called the accursed kill Christ, our sin. It's Octavius Winslow who put it this way. Who delivered Jesus to die? Not Judas for money. Not Pilate for fear. Not the Jews for envy. But the Lord God, the Father, for love. The Father for love gave and you might ask then, how low did he go? Well, I don't know. But I know this, that Jesus went low enough so that justice was satisfied. He went as low as justice required. Praise God, we're not left there. You remember the story perhaps about the black preacher who said, "It's Friday when I think about the world and the situation, I find it. It's Friday when I think about the family and how I find it. It's Friday when I think about the church and how I find it. It's Friday when I think about the community and how I find it. But Sunday is coming. He is risen. He rose again." We read something of that in Acts chapter 1. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus standing. 11 saw him behind closed doors. 500 at once. Cleopas and his friend met him. He ate fish and honey. And he asked Thomas, "Stick your finger into my side." 40 days of evidence. Then out to the climax, to the launch pad, we might say, to that mountain which he had been at on his way to the crucifixion. Remember, he traveled into Jerusalem, and when he was on that mountain, the Mount of Olives or Mount Olivet, he wept over the city. Now he's back out to that mountain. The place where he left for crucifixion is the same place where he now leaves for glory. He was taken up and received by a cloud. It wasn't a rain cloud. It was the Shekinah glory. This is the most significant event. Ascended, a prince and a savior. The disciples a wee while ago, they were frightened in the upper room. What a change came on them. Now they were full of energy. Now they knew what the last verses of Psalm 24 mean. They knew this as the angel's song. They could enjoy it and join in it. Who is the Lord of glory? Ye gates, lift up your heads. Who is this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I'm glad, and I trust you are, that Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. We need, friend, to discover our confidence in that again. Everybody you're going to meet this week is going to bow before God. Everybody in your family, in your community, the whole of Inverness is going to bow before God, either in mercy or in judgment. Will you not worship here and adore him? Yeah, he is ascended, but you, believer, are ascended with him. You don't feel like it today, do you? But he is your head. You are part of the body. You are there with Christ. How amazing. And how amazing it is that he remembers the troubles that he had, the trials that he had. He remembers and knows what it's like to be in the wilderness. He remembers Gethsemane. He remembers Calvary. He remembers the pain, the rejection. That's how he's able to succor us and intercede for us. Remember Stephen. He was accused. The folks yelled at him. They dragged him out of the city. He was a dying lump of flesh. And yet, he was radiant. Can you imagine that? Piling stones on him. Mocking him. And yet he was radiant. A bright, cheerful countenance. And if you were there, well, if I was there, I know what I'd have said. How in the wide world can you do that, Stephen? Do you know what his answer is? Look, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father.
And then we read he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And then he fell asleep. He knew where Jesus was. There's a story told about Martin Luther, who was a bit down in the dumps. He was a bit depressed and things were getting on top of him. It was too much for him. And here's Martin Luther. He's working away at his desk. He was inclined to work. So he was working away at his desk and he put the pen down. He was a bit flat. Then he took the pen up and he wrote something. And he carried on working. Everything changed. He wrote something. Do you know what he wrote? He is risen. May that be written on my heart and yours. And may we continue in a consciousness that Christ is ascended to the right hand. And then we see he led captivity captive. Now, we can't deal with every aspect of it, but we would like just to focus on the things that captivate us. You see, the picture here is the conqueror coming back into Rome. He's on his chariot. And the guys he's defeated are trailing behind him, chained to his chariot, their arms tied, their hands tied. He's led captivity captive. Now, what are the things that captivate you and me? What are the things that eat away at our joy in Christ? There's self. There's my ego, my reputation, my ambition, my envy, my bitterness. What powerful enemies these are of our soul. The multitude of thoughts that fight in our minds. The fear of death that gives a snare. But you know, Jesus has beaten every one of them. Everything that bothers you, child of God, is dealt with. He has the victory. He is the conqueror. We're told in Colossians 2:15, he has disarmed every principality and every power and every opposing force. Spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. It's Spurgeon, in his colorful way, put it this way. This chariot in which our conquering captain is riding has four wheels, and each of them has written on them a verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Sin shall not have dominion over thee. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then there's this one. Satan, your head is bruised. So he has ascended. He has led captivity captive. And then there's this little bit about gifts from men or for men. Paul changes the word to what we have in Psalm 68. And I've been struggling with that, and I found a helpful explanation of it from John Owen. He says that the word from and the word for, gifts for men and gifts from men, are interchangeable. For and from describe the act of the conqueror, subduing our enemies and rewarding his friends. He received gifts from men. He receives worship, submission, thanks, praise. And he receives gifts for men. And we would never get to the end of the list of blessings you have. Count your blessings. Think of one of the blessings that you have, far less all the others. It will surprise you what God has done. And we'll just mention one just now. Remember his promise. If I depart, I will send him to you. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I dare say that you might be saying, I don't know if I have that gift. Are you asking the question, how will I know if I have the gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll tell you, it's very straightforward. If you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, you'll think Jesus is wonderful. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You'll be captivated with Jesus. It's J.I. Packer who puts it this way. The Holy Spirit is like the searchlight on the castle or the cathedral. You see, what do you see? You see the castle. The castle is beautiful. The searchlight is casting its light on the castle. Gifts for men. And then we come to the end of it, even for the rebellious. I might say, well, I can understand if there was gifts for angels, or even for ministers. Yeah, and perhaps even for some of the elders and one or two of the deacons. And yeah, I can understand if there was gifts for these folks. Yeah, gifts for good church people. But for the rebellious, for folks who you might not even want in your company or in your home, yes, there's gifts for the rebellious. For you who are angry with God, for you who revolted against your parents, who fell out with your wife, you who complained when your father took out the Bible and you were fed up with it. You who were disobedient when you heard your conscience speaking to you, don't do that. I don't like that thing, the conscience. For you who, when the gang came and said, let's have a rave up, you said, sure, I'll just go. I'll go with the crowd. You heard the word of God and you said, away with it. You heard your friend saying, I now love Jesus. And you hate him. That's who the message is from for rebellious. The gift is for you, for the rebellious. See him weeping over Jerusalem. Look unto me. Come unto me. Maybe you're a child of God. And you've turned away. You've done what we might call a Peter. You've done a Peter. You've denied him. In the workplace, in the kitchen, in the family, in the home, in front of the television set, with the tablet. You've Googled where you shouldn't have Googled. You've done a Peter. Remember John Bunyan's testimony in Grace Abounding. This is what he says. Once I loved him. Once I feared God, I served him. Alas, now I've sold him. I'm a rebel. A dark day. What a dark day that was for me. But there was light in this tunnel. There was this word, gift for the rebellious. What about Peter? Peter, you saw what happened to the ear of Malchus. You found something interesting, didn't you, in the mouth of the fish? You saw something of the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. You were in the upper room. You actually walked in the water, Peter. Yet, you denied him 3 times. I don't know the man. But Jesus cared for rebellious Peter. There's 2 lovely words in Mark chapter 16. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Especially Peter. I know he's failed. I understand how he feels. I know he knows he's rebellious, but I, Jesus is saying, I love Peter. And oh, how he loved. Remember, he was first out of the boat and he went to Rome with his message. And his message was, Jesus loves rebels. Jesus loves sinners. And he was willing to be crucified, hanging upside down there. I'm a rebel. And I think that you're a rebel too. I think there's rebelliousness in all of us. And I'm glad that there's no adjective in that verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It doesn't say to save church-going sinners. It doesn't say to save a religious people. It says, all day long I stretch forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Lastly then, that the Lord God may dwell among them. The world said, there's no room for him in the inn. The New Testament tells us there's no place for his head. The crowd said, away with him. The Old Testament tells us, he was wounded in the house of his friend. But because I have ascended, I will abide with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will come and sup with you. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I. I am in my Father and you and in me, and I am in you. No wonder Billy Bray said, when I get to glory, he'll never hear the end of it. You don't need to wait for glory to do that. That's what we should be doing now. Never letting him hear the end of it. Morning, noon, and night. Praising him. That's what we're designed for. Who offers praise, me glorifies. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And at last, to be with our ascended Christ, that they may be with me where I am, face to face, when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, when they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He, as it were, trod this stairway to heaven. And you know, Christ cannot be there without the believer for whom he's died. Of those whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. It's not finished till you all get home. I go to prepare a place for you. You're tossed with the waves. You're tossed about with the waves of trouble. And Jesus, like he was with the disciples, is on the shore. And I wrote that down here this afternoon. Jesus is on the shore. And I thought about it, and it's wrong. He is the shore. He is the harbor. He is the resting place. My resting place. My chiefest joy. God is my refuge and my strength. Thou hast ascended. He had to descend first. Thou hast received gifts, even for the rebellious, that the Lord God we may dwell among them. May the Lord bless his word to us. Innes Ian, would you please lead us in prayer, please?
Gracious and ever-blessed God, before whom we have this night been exposed to the glory of all that Christ has achieved for his people in such a way that we are renewed in the vision that we have of him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We bless you, Lord our God, for all that you are for our salvation. And even tonight, as we may discover within ourselves so much that is of that rebellious nature, that we might cry with another, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" We bless you, Lord, for him and for all that he has achieved, that we may say with the apostle of old, "Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our Lord." And we bless you that you call us in him to be more than conquerors through that love that is commended to us, in that the Lord of glory stooped down from the equality that was with the Trinity in the eternity that is past, stooping down to Calvary, not only for his physical suffering in that place, but for the forsakenness and the darkness from which he cried, even in the pains of suffering the hell that is the just deserts of sinners, that sinners might be heirs together with him in heaven. And we bless you this evening that you have set an open door before us, and grant by your grace that we may truly enter, and that our souls might rest upon him who is the Saviour of sinners, the Lord of glory. We bless you, Lord, for all that is shared with us this evening, and we pray your blessing upon each of us, that we may be found in him, for in him alone is the pleasure of God extended to such as we are. Grant your blessing upon us now, and grant that your word might bear much fruit within our souls. We ask it together with your forgiveness, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.